The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. It is a lovely day here in the Northeast, a little chilly, but nice and sunny and pretty nice out there. So I hope you are doing well. Interesting thing my daughter said the other day, we were going out shopping and we were waiting for a friend. And I said, well, call her. And she said, I've called her a few times. And it was Sunday. And it was about 11:30. I said, oh, maybe they're at church. And she looked at me very seriously and said, Mom, they are not religious. They're spiritual. And I said, oh, there's a huge difference. She said, of course there is. And I said, what's the difference? And she just said, oh, you should know. And kind of, you know, typical 16-year-old sage just kind of walked away the other way. But, you know, it was an interesting question. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, which is why I bring it up, because we're going to talk about spirituality and religion and self-help kind of all put into one. Because my guest today, Reverend Charlene Proctor, is also a PhD doctor. She's a writer. She's a speaker. She's all these things. And she has written this book, The Oneness Gospel. And it's the birthing of Christ consciousness and divine human in you. But she also talks not just about religion, but about self-help and spirituality. She's on Lifetime. She can tell us exactly where TV. And I know there's a show there. As I said, she's written many books. She can tell us about all of them. And she talks about all of these things put into one. And I would love to know, and I'm going to ask her in just a moment, what is the difference? Is there a difference between spirituality and religion? And I want to welcome Dr. Charlene Proctor to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm great, Shannon. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, is that a question that anybody ever asks or wonders about? We hear that all the time. In a younger generation, people are spiritual. Certainly the baby boomers tend to be more spiritual than religious than their parents. So we don't go to church. We don't do the old doctrine of all the things we were taught. Is there a huge difference in the two, or is it just a different word for the same thing?
I think there's a big difference. I would define spirituality as kind of a personal search for meaning of life related to some power, transcendent power, if you will, that every person divines in their own manner, and where practice, I think, is a little bit more important than just defending specific beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is more structure. It's kind of defined more by a set of theological or historically defined beliefs and practices, and it's, you know, as you know, a community of believers and so forth.
Right.
But there's an authority there within a religion where there's some rabbi or priest or guru or imam or some other leader. So I think there's a big difference between the two, and I think nowadays there's so many people gravitating to this search for personal truth and personal improvement, a quality of life that is more open to others, that kind of defines a set of human relationships that is more defined by love and the way we live. And I think that is just a huge progress for our culture. I think it's important, and it's amazing for me to hear your story about your daughter, how old is she?
She's 16.
And already kind of tuning into that. So I think it's important, you know, especially with the young people, that we're noticing that they're broadening their viewpoint about the two things and maybe proceeding forth in their lives with this personal search for truth. Because, as you know, truth is the undercurrent. And I think no matter what set of beliefs that we have or adopt, I mean, maybe we experience a kirtan sometime and or go to a midnight mass, you know, I think more people are bra. But to just try to feel and see that there's a truth that runs through everything. And I think it's easy to find when we kind of rely on our intuition and sometimes our common sense. hate to say that, but
well, no, you shouldn't hate to say that, because if you connect those two to religion or spirituality, mm-hmm. it is part of us. I mean, whether you call it God or whatever you call your higher being, certainly they are the ones that gave you that intuition. So, you know, whoever created us obviously is smarter than we are, because who else could create these amazing bodies and this world? So, you know, all of that is part of it. So acknowledging God in a way?
I think it is. And I think that people who are seeking to searching for some kind of spiritual focus, want to take on this larger dimension and identify with something that's far greater than self, whether they call it the divine presence or God or however you mm-hmm. may define that in your own wisdom tradition. It really doesn't matter. But they're interested in making their dimension and their perception of life so much bigger and experiencing this undercurrent truth that I just mentioned in some sort of process of personal transformation. Some people feel that they need religion or the structure of religion, and certainly it's wonderful to go to a church or have some sort of community, of course,
right.
You know, where we meet people and we're connecting with others and so forth, but it doesn't always work for everyone. I mean, my mom is actually visiting this week here, and she's 86 years old, and she said her favorite thing to do to connect with the presence is to go out and dig a hole in her garden and plant her flowers.
Mm.
And her time, her meditation or her prayer is about connecting with that presence that's through nature. And so we're all going to do it a little differently. I know what's really interesting about the oneness people that are currently working on.
Well, back up just one second. Let me interrupt you.
What their opinion was of spirituality.
Well, your book is The Oneness Gospel. And what I want to ask you is, what is the oneness? So before you tell us, you know, that is the name of your book. And the oneness has a larger meaning to it, doesn't it?
It's such a wonderful question. I would say oneness is being completely aware of God within yourself.
Mm.
I mean, it's just so simple.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
It's spirit. It's the loving source of all that is. It certainly isn't some person sitting on a throne in the sky, you know, delivering judgment on people. I mean, it's one power, all good everywhere, all wisdom. Like this divine energy that's constantly creating, expressing, and sustaining everything in creation. So if you really think about it and how broad it is, and once we identify with that idea, within this spirit is where we live and move and have our being. And it's such an amazingly powerful concept, you know, to think about identifying with the presence that way. We're not really outside of anything.
Right.
It's virtually impossible to be outside of all that is. And once people get that, they start to awaken, I think, to new levels of conscious awareness, and they start to treat themselves better and other people better. And I think it's an important idea that needs to arrive and really solidify itself in today's world for us to make any sort of progress,
right?
You know, with nations and communities and even within our own families. I mean, we argue plenty, you know, in smaller groups, but if we can practice that idea a little bit and embrace it, you know, there's an energy there, and I think it's just like anything, you know, you see reflected in your life what goes on in your head and your own heart.
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely a connection. We have to take a break. And
okay.
When I come back, I want to talk more about the book and some of your other books, about your spiritual lessons on female power. So we're going to talk about that. We are talking with the Reverend Dr. Charlene Proctor, and we'll be back here in WTVQ in just a few.
FM.
WTVQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Deborah Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today. And don't go anywhere. We are talking with the Reverend Dr. Charlene Proctor. She has written a new book called The Oneness Gospel. She has written other books, Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. The Woman's Book of Empowerment is another book. And, you know, before we took the break, Dr. Proctor or Reverend, I'm not sure what you prefer to be called, or just Charlene, maybe. we were talking about your new book and how God is one of us, but and all in us. And you said it better than I just did. But you are more than just a reverend or than just a doctor. You kind of combine them both. So you talk about spirituality. You certainly understand and talk about religion. And I like that combination of putting them both in there. What does this new book do to bring those two camps together?
Well, the other books I wrote, because I'm a self-help author, and mm-hmm. the last couple books that you mentioned were about positive thinking and overcoming our old programming, which actually is a little foundation for some of my philosophy that I talk about in the Oneness Gospel, because for years I wrote books and talked about how to help women recognize when they're living on old programming, and it's such a wide experience, certainly isn't limited to women. But to be more aware of ourselves, and we are trying to sever these unconscious connections we have with past, you know, past programming or emotional patterns from our family. Sometimes we inherit them from culture, right? Mm-hmm. Old messages like women can't do this or you're not good enough. And so what happens is that we have all of this stuff in the present time, in our present moment, which are nothing more than reactions to past behaviors. So we stack up all these old traumas and dramas and stories, and they're all holding us back. But what's worse is that it's giving us this knee-jerk reaction to life. So what we're doing is that we're filtering our entire present-day reality with all this old conditioning that puts us on autopilot. And you cannot live a life with joy. You can't live in the present and feel that you have a connection to the divine or God when you are not awakened and aware. So I think part of our spiritual work has to first be about recognizing our lack of present moment awareness. You know, the half of it is just knowing when we're suffering and knowing when we're existing on all of these old messages, because that's part of our spiritual growth, right? That's
right.
What we overcome.
Absolutely. If we get there, you know.
Everybody will. It's just about awareness. And the thing that's cool about the Oneness Gospel, when I went out and studied with the Indian Dasas in India and Fiji to bring back this material, which took a couple years to write, because, you know, when they talk to you, they talk in all these kind of quirky stories and accents, and it takes, like, forever to write this stuff down and really absorb it and try to put it to work in your own life, which is a nice thing for a writer, because it's a reflection of what the truth is that I experienced. So, you know, overall, I'd say, in connecting all those dots, is that we can't really get to this enlightened place or this awakened place until we're fully aware of our own individual behavior and our own messages that we're carrying around from the past.
Mm-hmm.
So once we break those patterns and we start living a more conscious life, you know, we can really engage and wake up and say, oh my gosh, it's a sunny day outside, and there's so much joy in that. There's so much joy in talking to my, you know, daughter, or walking the dog, or going to work every day. Life gets far more simple, and we get so much more out of it.
Uh-huh. So that's, you know, I think women are the ones that kind of hold on to things a little bit more than men.
We are the queens of hanging on. We're still arguing and talking and grinding about what Aunt Martha said to somebody at the Christmas dinner 6 years ago.
I know, it's true. And we overanalyze it. Yes, and we really don't let go of it. And you're saying all of that is keeping us from really our divine life that is standing right in front of us, or seeing what we just don't see because we just spend so much time seeing all the other stuff?
Yeah, and we're not making any room in our life to experience the present. I mean, if there's anything I could tell people, it would be just primarily just be very willing, so willing to release the past and to be fully present. Because if we can't be where we are right now, you can't be anywhere else. I know that sounds a little strange, but I always tell people the journey begins where you are and not where you want to be. You can't be anywhere than where you are right now. So you can't think about where you're going to be or who you want to be. I mean, yeah, we can plan a little bit and save money or go to school and do these neat things, but you have to be fully engaged in the present, without texting, you know, somebody, it's one of my pet peeves, you know, or emailing, but to just be sitting with a friend, practice it, you know, and to just be fully present with no impulses from the past, without filtering, and to just be there. And it's a discipline because our Western society is not training us to be like this.
And they,
we're supposed to be everywhere else but
yes,
where we are.
That's true. And they do that over in Fiji and India a lot better than we do, is what you're saying? I mean, do they have a little bit more of a connection?
Well, what they did when they started these programs from the Oneness University is they started sending their dasas, which are their holy people, their monks, to teach. And there are people there from all over the world. And the one thing they told people is about Westerners, which I found to be intriguing, was that we are the absolute champions of suffering management. We never want to experience our suffering. We can't move through it. We stuff it. We watch TV. We shop on the internet. We eat. We go to therapy. We complain
right.
to people. We will do anything to avoid our suffering. And so what happens is that, like old programming, it gets stuck in the energy layers in our body, which are called the koshas, and it brings on physical disease, which is certainly what happened to me, which maybe readers will find interesting in the book. But generally, we do not know how to experience and move through our suffering. And this is such a foreign concept to people in the West because we're not really taught how to do that. You know, oh, let's forget about it or do something else to get away from it instead of being present with it, experiencing and moving through it. The human body is designed to experience grief and survive. I mean, if we didn't experience our suffering and our bodies weren't designed to do that, there would be no humans for millions of years, you know. So it's a natural ability we have. And so they start teaching everybody in the beginning how to do that, and it's very, very helpful.
So what you're saying is it's not really special that somebody went through something. We all go through something. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of accepting it, embracing it, or just allowing it to be part of what life's journey is.
Well, a little bit of both.
I
think
see.
if we cling, it's all right to remember, but to fully physically experiencing some kind of drama or trauma that you had, we have to truly embrace that. This is really great practice when you go to a funeral. Oh, I hate to say that, and we'll try to not dwell on this too much, but this is a common experience we all have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are born, people die. And when we go to a funeral, to be truly present, especially if that grief you are experiencing is with somebody that you dearly love and this person that you will miss, you have to be present with it. Otherwise, there's no cleansing and there's no joy at the end of the process. How can you remember somebody's life with joy and triumph and all these beautiful things if you're stuck in the grief? And it's very difficult for us to let go, I think, sometimes when people die because we think that that's keeping the memory alive and that's honoring them, but I don't think that's always true. And this applies across the board to everything, all kinds of suffering. I mean, breaking relationships or divorce or losing your job or losing all your prosperity and or your home and all of these things, you know, are forms of loss. So I think that was a big part of the teachings in Fiji in the very, very beginning. Was we had to spend a certain amount of days in total silence, which was awful. I mean, there's nothing
terrible.
Worse than sitting there with your own suffering for 3 days and not being able to talk about it with
I
anybody.
I can imagine. That would be tough for most of us, certainly tough for me.
Yeah.
And I think certainly tough for most Westerners. So they're actually, the Oneness Gospel is not something that you came up with. It is something that exists. There is an institute, did you say, or a...
There were a group of people years ago at this place called the Oneness University mm-hmm. in India, which is a very small town in South India. And the couple people there were giving a blessing and helping or teaching people some simple truths, and that just kind of grew into what we know of today. I think the teachings are changeable. I mean, they're not the same all the time. But certainly the ones that I experienced were my own take on it, and I thought it was very interesting how congruent they were with the New Testament Gospels. So it was that and a lot of research on with different Indian spiritual teachers and Christian mystics, I thought, were kind of speaking the same thing. So the book actually is kind of an East meets West.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, a little bit of my own personal take on what these folks were talking about in India, and they're just beautiful, simple teachings translated through my eyes.
Yeah.
And I would so dearly love if people would read the book. I think it's very exciting and very...
It is very exciting, and it's very easy to read. With your background and your knowledge and your self-help knowledge and your psychology knowledge and putting it together with that, you know, that kind of, what do I say, Fiji Indian sort of, you know, real deep knowledge and awareness, it is a wonderful, easy book to read, which gives us so much back. You've done a great job on it. It is a really chock full book. I mean, we didn't even get to so much that's in here today, but you should definitely go get it. I have your website on Shannon's Corner, The Oneness Gospel, and give out your website again so everybody can get to it.
Well, people can find me at theonenessgospel.com or charleneproctor.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a really terrific book. You've done a great job. You can come back and talk about it again, but I urge everybody to go out and get the book. It will open up your life so much and everyone's life around you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was terrific. Again, the book is The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You, Dr. Charlene Proctor. I thank you all for joining us today here on WTBQ in Shannon's Corner. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.